1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says to Timothy, "And I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith." Now, there's lots of genealogies in the Old Testament. Is Paul critiquing the Old Testament in this? No, he's not critiquing the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, the genealogies in the Old Testament are super important. All right? So there's not a problem with genealogies. But there was a big shift when the New Testament happened. Because when the New Testament happened, literally nothing was based on genealogy anymore. Therefore, at that point, arguments about genealogies, not relevant. What we're going to be talking about today, though, because we're going to be in the Old Testament, arguments about genealogies were actually very important, all right? Because God considered them important. God changed the rules, all right, when he sent the king, all right? And so when Paul's going, don't argue about endless genealogies, right? This is Paul who says, "I'm of a tribe of Benjamin," right? I mean, he used that to talk about his own pedigree. But Paul also recognized there is neither Jew nor Greek now. Okay, there's neither slave nor free. And so it's not that genealogies were never important. They clearly were in the Old Testament. It's that the gospel changed all of that. But when we go back to the Old Testament, we do need to think about them. All right? And so the Jews during Paul's day would have been very concerned about genealogies. And so I spent my entire study time this week when thinking about the false prophet and the beast and whatnot, all on basics, because I wanted to make sure I got some of the basics right. And so we're going to have a back-to-basics discussion today. All right? Most of you will know this material, all right, generally speaking, but we're going to do a lot of reading, all right, a lot of review. And for some of you who may not really know this material, hopefully this will help. So we're going to discuss the Levites and the priesthood today. Okay? Here's the most important thing to realize. All right? If you get this, you get a very big part of this discussion. All right? Venn diagram. All right? There are Levites. Okay? And there are priests. Are all priests Levites?
Yes.
Yes. Are all Levites priests? No. Okay? There you go. That's a very important concept which we'll be digging into today. All right? You get that? All priests in the Old Testament. All priests are Levites. All right? But not all Levites are priests. Or the old logical thing, Aristotle is a man. But just because you're a man doesn't mean you're Aristotle. Okay? Okay.
Amen.
Okay, so if you look at the very top of your sheet, I provided a genealogy for you. And if you want to turn to 1 Chronicles 6, 1 through 15, you will find that there. This is just a shortened, condensed version of it, okay? I've underlined some important names that we will discuss today. Genealogy. Levi, Kohath, Amram, Aaron, Eleazar, Phinehas, Abishua, Buki, Uzi, Zerahiah, Merioth, Amariah, Ahitub, Zadok. Not that Zadok, though. Ahimaaz, Azariah, Yohanan, Azariah, Amariah, Ahitub. That Zadok is important. Shalom, Hilkiah, Azariah, Sariah, Jehozadak. And he goes into exile. All right? So this is a part, all right, of the high priestly line in the Old Testament. All right? And so there's a lot of very famous figures in there. We've talked many times about Aaron, Phinehas, and Zadok. We're going to fill in some of these other people. All right? Let's talk about the Pentateuch. All right? The Pentateuch is what? The first five books. Pentateuch. Five books, five scrolls. All right? Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Let's sequence them real quick. Which one happened first?
Genesis.
Which one happened second? Mostly Exodus, but Exodus and Numbers overlap a whole lot, right? Leviticus, it's not nearly as much of a narrative. But Deuteronomy, there's a good bit of narrative there, and a lot of that is about the giving of the second giving of the law, the Deuteronomos, the second giving of the law, before they go in. So for just a rough sequence, you can think of Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Okay? So turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 3. And I want you guys to help me read today. We're going to be reading a lot of Scripture today. Numbers chapter 3. And I don't actually expect us to get through all of this today. We'll just finish it up next time. We'll get as far as we can. This is just a small selection of texts that deal with the Levites and the priesthood and whatnot. There's a lot more than this. This is just a small selection. This was super important in the Old Testament. So we're going to read a lot, all right? So if we would, let's go clockwise, all right? And Catherine, if you'll start reading. We'll just read a few verses at a time, and we'll go around, and I'll tell you if I want you to stop, all right?
Now these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron, Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he consecrated to minister as priests. Nadab and Abihu had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests in the presence of Aaron, their father.
Jehovah said to Moses, bring the tribe of Levi, present them to Aaron, the priest, to assist him. They are to perform duties for him and for the whole community at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the tabernacle. They are to take care of all of the furnishings of the tent of meeting, fulfilling the obligations of the Israelites by doing the work of the tabernacle. Give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are the Israelites who are to be given holy to him. Appoint Aaron and his sons to serve as priests. Anyone else who approaches the sanctuary must be put to death.
Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of, and as a substitute for every firstborn, that is, the first that opens the womb among the Israelites. So the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I consecrated for myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and animal. They shall be mine. I am the Lord.
And the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, List the sons of Levi by fathers' houses and by clans. Every male from the month old and upward you shall list. So Moses listed them according to the word of the Lord, as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kehath and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their clans, Nibni and Shimei, and the sons of Kohath by their clans, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzel, and the sons of Merari by their clans, Mahali and Mushi. These are the clans by the Levites, by the fathers' houses.
All right, pause for a second. All right, so in terms of our sequence, we've got Levi. Okay. Then we have Amram, I think, in the genealogy next. All right. And then we have three sons. All right. Now, here it does not mention the intermediate. Amram is after Kohath. All right. So we got from Levi, we have three. All right. And we just listed them. We were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. All right. Aaron is in here. Okay? So Aaron and Moses, by the way. Aaron is a descendant of Kohath, who is a descendant of Levi. All right? Okay. Continue.
Were to camp behind the tabernacle on the west with Eliasaph, the son of Lael, as chief of their father's house of the Gershonites, and the guard duty of the son of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen for the entrance of the tent of meeting.
The hangings of the court, the screen for the door of the court that is around the tabernacle and the altar and its courts, all the service connected with these. To Kohath belonged the clan of the Amorites, and the clan of the Izharites, and the clan of the Hebronites, and the clan of the Uzelites. These are the clans of the Kohathites. According to the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, there were 8,600, keeping guard over the sanctuary.
The clans of the sons of Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle with Ozaman, the son of Uziel, as chief of the father's house of the clans of the Kohathites, and their god duty involved the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary, with which the priests minister and the screen, all the servants connected with these. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was to be chief over the sons of the Levites, and to have oversight of those who kept guard over the sanctuary. To Merari belonged to the clan of the Levites and the clan of the Mushites. Those are the clans of Merari. They're listed according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, with 6,200. And the chief of the father's house of the clans of Merari was Uriel, the son of Abiathar. And they went to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. The appointed guard duty of the sons of Merari involved the frames of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, the basins, and all their accessories, all the service connected with these, also the pillars around the court with their bases and pegs and cords.
Those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tent of meeting toward the sunrise, were Moses, Aaron, and his son, guarding the sanctuary itself to protect the people of Israel. And any outsider who came near was to be put to death. All of those listed among the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron listed at the commandment of the Lord by clans, all the males from a month old and upwards were 22,000.
Okay, thank you. All right. So we have the tabernacle. All right. We have the three sons and their descendants. All right. The three sons and their descendants of Levi camped around the starts of the west, then the south, then the north. And the last one were the entrances, right? When we think of maps, we think of, I start with north all the time, east for them, all right? Rising of the sun. So Moses, Aaron, the priest are on the east side. Now, notice there in that verse 32, right? And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was to be chief over the chiefs of the Levites. All right, so let's erase Aaron and put him in a different color. All right, Aaron. Now, Aaron had four sons, all right? Nadab and Abihu, who were killed by God, because they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. There are two sons left, and the priesthood passed through those. Eleazar and Ithamar. Okay? Eleazar seems to be the most important of the two. And he is given charge over Kohath. All right? Why Kohath? Well, that happens to be the part of the tribe that he's in. So that kind of makes sense. So Eleazar is in charge of this, and they're supposed to carry things like the Ark of the Covenant. All right? And so that's this group. All right? Makes sense? Now remember, there's all sorts of people here, right? All of these are Levites. This subsection is priests. Okay? All right. As you can see, based on this, what's the purpose of the Levites? Well, you know, the temple, it's got lots of material. It's got lots of cloth-type stuff, curtains, walls made of cloth, lampstands, Ark of the Covenant. There's a ton to carry, all right? A ton to carry. And so, you know, the priest, they're of a finite number. At this point, there's three, essentially, right? And if Eleazar and Ithamar at this point have any sons, right, they can't carry the tabernacle. The Levites are given charge, all right, of basically being, if you've seen like a concert, they're like the road crew, all right, for the priests. The priests are the most important ones, but they have to tear down and put up everything as they move around from place to place, all right? That's essentially what the function of the Levites is, at least at this point. Yeah.
So besides Aaron, Kohath has multiple other, just like.
Right. Yep. And they are not priests. Yes. Okay? Only Aaron and his sons. All right, now turn to Exodus 32. This, even though it is before in the Bible, in terms of sequence, actually, I don't know. This might actually be after Numbers 3. It might be before. It's hard sometimes to tell these sequences. Exodus 32, all right? This is the instance of the golden calf, right? Moses is up on the mountain. The Israelites kind of freak out. What's going on? Hey, Aaron, make us a golden calf. What Aaron should do is say no. What Aaron actually does is, okay, I'll facilitate, all right? That's what happens. And so Moses comes down the mountain, all right? And we get here to 32 verses 25 through 29, all right? And so Moses condemns what they've done. All right, and now go ahead and pick up the reading, 25 through 29.
Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control, making them a laughing stock to their enemies. And Moses stood at the camp's entrance and said, "Whoever is for the Lord comes to me." And all the Levites gathered around him. He told them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Every man fasten his sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp, from entrance to entrance, and each of you kill his brother, his friend, and his neighbor."
And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, "Today you have been ordained for the service of Jehovah, each one at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing upon you this day."
Okay. So in this particular case, of the sons of Levi, all right, the subsection which is the high priest were complicit in the sin. All right. Now the Old Testament has regulations for what if the high priest sins. It's there. So what does Moses do? He's like, "All right, whoever's on the Lord's side, come to me." And the Levites, not these guys, presumably, but the other ones, they gather around Moses. Moses says, "Grab your sword. All right, it's time for punishment." And so what does it say? 3,000 Israelites died at that point. Okay, this will not be the first time where we have a fight. A distinction, a difference in behavior between the high priest, all right, or the priestly part of the clan, and then the rest of the tribe. Okay. If you look at Exodus 38:21, I'll just read this Real quick. And these are the records of the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were recorded at the commandment of Moses, the responsibility of the Levites under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. All right, and then it goes through and it talks about the construction of the tabernacle. The Levites weren't just there for the protection of the tabernacle, they were also there for the construction of the tabernacle and were involved in that. And in this particular case, even though Eleazar was mentioned before, son of the high priest, Ithamar at this point is mentioned, and he's the one who's apparently leading up the actual construction of the tabernacle's materials. All right, now let's go back to Numbers. Here's another famous story. Korah's rebellion. Help me read that one, will you? Well, we're going to go Numbers 16, 1 through 11. Okay, stop real quick. What's Korah's complaint? Reword it.
Everybody's dead.
Why do you get to be priest? We're Levites too, right? Because Korah is a descendant of Izhar, who is a descendant of Kohath, all right? So he is very close in relation to these guys. Why do you get exalted? We're all holy. All right, continue.
Then the person who brings the offering shall bless. Then Moses, when Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and all of his followers, in the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him. The man he chooses, he will cause him to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers, and tomorrow put burning coals with incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far. Moses also said to Korah, now listen, you Levites. Isn't it enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community? Brought you here to himself to do the work of the Lord's tabernacle and stand before the community and minister to them. He has brought you and all your fellow Levites near him. But now you are trying to get the priesthood too. It is against the Lord that you and all your fellows have banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him?
All right, so what is Moses' rebuttal?
The Lord chose.
First of all, the Lord chose. Secondly, we'll let God confirm this himself. And three, God already set you apart. All right? It's not like he forgot you. You already are set apart for a very important job. All right, all three of those things are there. Now, if we skip to, because there's a little bit of argument back and forth. Now, also before we move on, notice when he kept saying, you Levites, he's not talking about all the Levites, right? I mean, he's probably talking, because he's already specified who it is. This is Korah and his house. So this is a subset of the Levites. This is not all of the Levites. All right, they're not all about to get wiped out, because that's what happens here. All right, this is a subset, Korah and his family. All right, So if we go to 25, and I'll read this. Then Moses rose and went to Dathan. This is verse 25, not chapter 25. And Abiram and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, please, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be swept away with all their sins." So they got away from the dwelling of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tents, together with their wives, their sons, and their little ones. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. If these men die as all men die, or if they are visited by the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me." In other words, if they just die a normal death, old age, something like that. "But if the Lord creates something new, and the ground opens up, opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into Sheol, then you shall know that these men have despised the Lord." And as soon as he finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up with their households and all the goods that belonged to Korah and all their goods. So they all that belonged to them went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up." And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense. Okay, so God did miraculously show up and confirm, yes, I chose Moses, I chose Aaron, I chose Aaron's sons, right? Because this is mostly about Aaron and his sons, not about Moses, really. I chose them as the priests. Clearly confirmed at this point. All right? Any questions about that? Okay. Numbers 25, the next section, verses 10 through 13. Or maybe a few verses before that.
And the Lord said to Moses, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I do not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore, say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and to his descendants after him the covenant of the perpetual priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the people of Israel."
Okay, so Phinehas is the son of Eleazar. Okay, now what the problem here was is an Israelite was mixing it up with a Midianite, I believe, right? Midianite woman, and that was a no-no. No, you're not allowed to do that. The people were allowing it. All right? People were allowing it. But Phinehas would not allow it, and so he went and he killed the man himself and ultimately saved the nation. There was still a plague, but he saved the nation by averting the wrath of God. And so God says to him, "I will make you a essentially perpetual covenant." Now, at this point, the house of Ithamar is not cut off. We will see them again, right? But we can see at this point that Phinehas and this line will take a particularly important place in history. All right? Make sense? Okay. Let's turn to Joshua 21. We are now leaving the Pentateuch. We are now into the Promised Land. Joshua 21:1-5.
Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spoke unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, "Jehovah commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of Jehovah these cities and their suburbs. And the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, and by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. And the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the half tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities.
Okay, and so after that, it goes through Gershon and Merari. All right, and so I bring this up for two reasons. All right. One is just show when we're into the promised land, they have not forgotten this distinction. All right, there is clearly a distinction between the priest and the Levites, because the priests do get mentioned a little bit separately. But also, interestingly enough, all right, here in 1 through 5, we've got in verse 4, and the lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. All right, so this is, you know, the part that has the high priestly family. So those Levites who were descendants of Aaron the priest received by lot from the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin, 13 cities. It's interesting to me that the high priest, all right, the high priestly line didn't end up in, all right, Manasseh. All right, didn't end up in Ephraim. All right, where did they end up? They ended up in Judah. All right, Judah and Benjamin, the southern kingdom. Lion of the tribe of Judah, more closely associated with, for example, the faithful Israelites that go into exile, right, whenever Babylon comes. I find that interesting. Nothing is made of that here. We are several hundred years previous to that, all right? But I do at least find that interesting. Now, in terms of the priesthood, things continue. 1 Samuel. We skip over the rest of Joshua and Judges. And now we get close to the time of the kingship. 1 Samuel 2.
And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be the priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn in incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by the fire of children of Israel? Therefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy son above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed.
Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and say, Please put me in one of the priestly positions that I may eat a piece of bread.
Okay, so this is Eli. Now, Samuel the priest is about to come into the picture, right? And Samuel the priest is the one who anoints the kings. You know, Saul and then David. And so Eli here, we know the story. This is the old priest here. He's doing his function, but he's not doing it well, and he's letting his children sin. And so God comes to him and says, your line is going to die out. All right, your line. Now, I think Eli, and this is, there is no, that I could find, no genealogy that specifically links him to anybody in particular. But I think he's of Ithamar, all right? Based on, there's a few verses, I can find them if you want me to. But if you just do some word searches and you just try to find the genealogies, it looks like he's linked to Ithamar, not Eleazar. And this is a different Phinehas, right? This Phinehas is the son of this Eli, which is not this Phinehas, all right? It's like Mike, all right? if you want to know who Mike is, well, here, well, you got to have Mike and Michael, right, if you want to distinguish them. And if we had another one, we'd probably have to start using nicknames or last names or what. You know, they recycled names a lot, too, right? Just like there's two Zadoks in that genealogy that we had there at the first. And so Phineas is going to be reused, and this Phineas is not the faithful Phineas. This is, in fact, the Phineas that is going to be killed because of his unfaithfulness. So I think Eli is a part of Ithamar's line, right? Which doesn't completely cut off all of Ithamar's line, because remember, people were having often multiple children, all right? So in this group is, I need my green. In this group is going to be Eli. All right. I think. Correct me if you can find a definitive answer otherwise. All right. And then his sons will get killed. But there will still be other descendants. And we will find that last descendant here in a minute. No, we won't, because we're going to run out of time. All right. So this continues. Now, this promise here, I think... All right, because it says, I'm going to have a faithful priest. When his descendant gets replaced, and that would be in 1 Chronicles 29:22, his replacement will be Zadok. All right, Zadok the priest, who is a descendant of Aaron, Eleazar, Phinehas. Okay, so that's as much as we have time for today. Any questions or thoughts at this point? Hope you find this helpful. This is back to basics, but this is very important to the Old Testament, because this thing will keep coming up. When we get past the exile, this Levites versus priests will come up. All right. When we get into the intertestamental period, this Levites versus priests will come up. All right. This is just—it continues to be a thing until the New Testament. All right. Until the changes with Jesus and the changes in the New Covenant change all of this, and now everyone's priests. All right. And just imagine what kind of difference this is. All right. For the early Jews. You think Peter, when he says you're all going to be priests, all right? You think that's normal for him, right? Well, you know, if you're tempted to think, well, maybe Peter didn't read his Old Testament all the time, because he might not have been all that literate, and he was a fisherman. It doesn't matter. The Levites and the priesthood are something physical and around that he would have seen his entire life. That would have been a very clear distinction. And for Peter to then say, you're all priests, right? This means, in Peter's own mind, this is a major theological change for him, right? Just like he went through other major theological changes, like you can eat pork, for example. That is just one of the things, because this was a very clear distinction in the Old Testament. All right, not everybody can be priest. Not even all the Levites. Just this particular subset of people can be priest. And Peter's, and Paul, nope. Everybody's priest now. Genealogies, they don't matter anymore. Okay. So that's ultimately where we're going theologically. Okay, well, let's dismiss. We'll continue next time with this reading. I'll also have readings prepared for you for the post-exilic time period. So Ezra, Nehemiah, for example. And also, we'll have some readings for the intertestamental period. So we can see what happens after our last Old Testament books, all right? Okay. Frank, will you pray for us, please?